On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson drops by to discuss girls and boys high school basketball before we turn our attention to swimming sectionals. We'll hear the latest on the possibility of the Bears moving to the Hoosier State and a new statue announcement at IU. I'll close with notes on the Comets, basketball, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We focused a lot on girls basketball the last few weeks, so let's get started there. The big sectional title game took place over the weekend, and we were treated to a thrilling and kind of familiar upset.
So a lot of people might remember Norwell, the defending class 3A champion, got moved up to 4A and was going to be in the same sectional as Homestead, which is perennially one of our best teams in the area, oftentimes one of the best teams in the state. Norwell won during the regular season. Homestead didn't have their full starting lineup healthy, so everybody was thinking, could we kind of see a return to form? Could the year in and year out 4A contender knock out Norwell after what has been a great story? It wasn't that simple. So at the Southside Sectional on Saturday night, Homestead led for most of the way. Delaney Knoll, who was that player who was out against Norwell back during the regular season, in the first quarter, she had 2 steals, 7 points. She was the one out there making the difference, and Homestead was up 24-15 heading into the locker room at halftime. She had a steal and a layup in the third quarter to give Homestead a 32-20 lead. It's kind of seeming like, you know, it's a hitting midnight time frame for Norwell. And then Vanessa Rossworm did Vanessa Rossworm things. So she hit the final 3 buckets of the third quarter that cut Homestead's lead to 34-29 going into the final 8 minutes of the game. And then on the first possession of the fourth quarter, she hit her 5th 3-pointer of the game. Now it's a 1-possession game at 6:28. It was actually an inbound play. She kind of deftly shook off her defender, gets a wide open shot, sinks it. All of a sudden, Norwell has a 35-34 lead. That was like their very first lead since, you know, the opening minutes. Down the stretch, Norwell's the one who came out ahead. You know, they made enough of the free throws. There was a turnover and just a couple errors for Homestead in that final stretch. So even though this is a team that has been accomplished for years, there was a group of 6 seniors who have been contributors since, like in the case of Maya Epps, her freshman year, and in the case of Gabby Helsum and Whitney Eichenbrook, they've been serious contributors since their sophomore years. And now it's over because Norwell, which is a senior-heavy team itself, including Vanessa Rossworm, who finished with 28 points, they're the ones going on to regionals.
So what's coming up next in the girls tournament?
So interestingly, Warsaw, which was another team that has been number one for several weeks over the course of this season, another title contender, made it to the state finals last year, also got upset. So all of a sudden, Norwell is the top ranked team remaining in 4A in the top half of the bracket. Now, there are a lot of top ranked teams in the bottom half of the bracket, but we don't have to worry about them until the state finals if it comes to that. So let's take a look at who we have remaining playing for regional titles on this Saturday. So Belmont is going to be hosting a sectional, and the Braves are going to get to play on their home court. So it'll be East Noble, who's 20-5, versus Belmont, 21-3. So those are two NE8 foes going to be playing each other for a regional title in 3A. That's at 1 p.m. At 4 p.m., the Class 4A game is going to be played, and that is Norwell, now 22-4, versus Snyder, 18-6. And Snyder won its 5th sectional title in a row on Saturday. We have a couple of other teams playing as well. Warsaw isn't going to be playing, got upset, so the Tigers are out of the running, but they will be hosting a regional. So Class 2A, Witco, 24-1, number one team in that classification, is going to be playing Eastside, 22-3, at 7 p.m. at Warsaw. That's a rematch of a semi-state game from last year. We also have Fremont playing for a regional title in 1A. The Eagles, 25-2, are going to have a really tough assignment playing Marquette Catholic, 23-3, over at Jimtown at 4 p.m. Now, both those teams have really good records, but Marquette Catholic has played a really, really tough schedule, really, really impressive team, especially at the 1A level. So that's going to be a huge, huge game in 1A.
Meanwhile, earlier this week, you got to see an exciting comeback on the boys' side of things.
Yes, so we've got another big Homestead story to talk about, this time on the boys' side. There was a time when the Homestead seemed like they were in the driver's seat in the SAC, dealt first loss to Southside, which has had a really great season. But since then, they have had two losses against SAC teams. Tuesday night, they were in a hole at Wayne, down by 16 at halftime. Wayne gets the first bucket of the second half. Now they're down 18. They had not been shooting well. They had been losing the rebounding battle. Really not a lot going their way. And then the tides turn. Mac Welker, their star junior, got that train turned around. That's not a phrase, but
we'll go with it.
Okay. He got things rolling. So in the fourth quarter alone, he scored 18 points.
Wow.
Yes. So he needed 33 points to join the 1,000-point club. He had 34 in the end because he got two free throws at the very end. His fourth field goal of the third quarter cut Wayne's lead to 44-40. Again, they had been up by 18 in that quarter. It was just a four-point game going into the fourth quarter. Felt like Homestead had all the momentum. And then he made 7 of 9 shots in the fourth quarter, including 3 for 3 at the free throw line. That's all she wrote. Homestead wins this one 60-50. Meanwhile, across town, Southside is playing Bishop Lohr's. Bishop Lohr's beats the Archers, so that is the second conference loss for Southside. And now we have basically half of the conference with two losses as we're kind of getting towards the end here. So it's not exactly anybody's ballgame because we still have head-to-head results, which will be tiebreakers if we end up with multiple teams with two losses. But Homestead has just two SAC games to go. They play Concordia this Friday, and then they host their biggest rival, Carroll, a week later. And they do have the head-to-head win over Southside. Now, Southside concludes its conference slate Friday at Wayne. So I guess Homestead has two more opportunities to lose, and Southside only has one. However, that Southside-Wayne game is going to be tough because Wayne is another one of those teams with two losses. Wayne had just one conference loss coming into the day. So who knows what we're going to get? It really is an any given Friday night kind of situation in this conference right now.
When we started this show, we talked a lot about swimming, mainly because of the Olympic trials that were taking place in Indianapolis. But the girls' sectional title meet was over the weekend, and one of our schools had an extraordinary weekend.
Yes. Sometimes it becomes hard to describe exactly how dominant a team is, but I'm just going to share a couple numbers. There are 12 events in a high school swim meet here in Indiana. 11 of them are swimming events, and then we have the 1 meter dive. On Saturday at the Southside sectional finals, Carroll won all 11 swim events. They set 7 meet records, and then the Chargers had 11 swims under the state time standard. And what that means is that competitors will automatically qualify for the state finals, even if they don't win their event, which is usually what moves you on to the state finals, which will be held this Friday and Saturday. They knew even before you get the heat sheets on Sunday and you look through it, because they want 32 entrants at the state finals in each event. So you have the winner from every sectional, plus everybody who hit the state qualifying standard, plus however many more you need the fastest times from across the state to fill out that 32. Before they even got there, they knew that they would have 11 entries in the state finals this coming Friday and Saturday. So that is huge. Carroll wins the sectional with 544 points. That beats out Homestead, which is second with 477. It's this 9th sectional title and 5th straight for the Chargers. And we all know in this state how dominant Carmel girls swimming is. I believe they're going for their 40th straight state title this year. But for much of that, not only have they won, but they've won by just massive, massive, massive margins. Carroll was second last year, and I talked to Carroll coach Ben Sutton, and he said their goal is to make sure that this is not one of those years where Carmel wins by 200 points. It's going to be a competition this year. So I've looked at the times that have come out, the heat sheets and the psych sheets, and Carroll has the top seed time in quite a few events, at least one relay. And there are multiple events where they have two swimmers 1-2, the two fastest times from around the state at sectionals. So it could be a really, really big day for the Chargers at the IU Natatorium in Indianapolis on Saturday.
Before we wrap things up, the NFL's big game was over the weekend, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry about the outcome for your Patriots.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I hated it. I hated watching that whole thing.
So did I, if it makes you feel better. I thought it was good. One of the more boring Super Bowls in a while.
Yep, that is accurate.
Victoria Jacobson, covering the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Indiana House Speaker Todd Houston says lawmakers are moving quickly to pass legislation to lure the Chicago Bears to Indiana. As Ben Thorpe reports, Houston is the House sponsor on a bill that recently passed out of the Senate.
The legislation aims to attract the Bears to Indiana and would create a stadium authority in charge of acquiring land and financing the construction of a facility. The bill passed overwhelmingly out of the Senate with just 2 no votes. Speaker Houston says he plans to spend several days in northern Indiana speaking with local officials.
We'll do everything we can. I think it's an incredible economic opportunity for Northwest Indiana and for the state of Indiana, and hopefully we'll be moving something forward soon.
Economists have long questioned whether stadiums are a good economic investment, but Indiana lawmakers say the state has been good at developing financial packages that don't hurt taxpayers. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
The state of Illinois has also been hard at work on its plan to keep the Bears there, specifically at the Arlington Heights location that's been part of the conversation since the team's search for a new home began. We also got word earlier this week that Iowa is trying to get in on the fun. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I certainly wouldn't put it on that. Meanwhile, former IU men's basketball coach Bob Knight is getting a bronze statue at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. The athletic department made the announcement during the Hoosiers' victory over Oregon Monday night. IU also honored players from its undefeated 1976 national championship team at halftime. The team won the first of Knight's 3 national championships for the Hoosiers. Current coach Darren DeVries says the statue is a fitting tribute to Knight, who died in 2023.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think any way you can honor, especially Coach Knight and the greats that have played here, I think that's something that is well deserved, it's great that it's going to be recognized.
IU did not announce a timetable for production and installation of the statue. The school said an anonymous donor is fully funding the project. The Comets are coming off a tough week where they took 3 points out of a possible 8, but they're still holding on to second place in the Central Division at the moment. They're hosting the Indy Fuel at the Coliseum Friday at 7:30, and they'll head down I-69 for a road game against the Fuel Saturday at 7. They'll finish the weekend in Toledo with a 5 o'clock faceoff on Sunday. This season is what it is for the Pacers, but 2 great things have happened since we last spoke. On Tuesday, they beat the Knicks at the Garden. No matter how bad the Pacers are in a given season, it always feels good beating the Knicks, especially at their home. Between that and their road win over the Thunder a couple weeks ago, it's encouraging to see them continue to step up and win big games despite their record. The other piece of good news is the acquisition of Ivica Zubas from the Clippers. It's likely not going to make that big a difference this season, but looking forward to the trio of Zubats, Pascal Siakam, and a healthy Tyrese Halliburton should get the Pacers right back into the conversation for next season. They haven't thrown in the towel like a lot of teams do after seasons like this, and it's nice to be excited about the future. They're on a bit of a break for the next week because it's NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. Siakam will head out west as the Pacers rep for the game. Skills competition is Saturday. It's really not what it used to be. Maybe the 3-point contest will be interesting, but you couldn't pay me to watch the dunk contest at this point. I don't even know why they bother trying with that thing anymore. The game itself will follow a USA versus World format. That's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be on NBC and Peacock on Sunday, with coverage from the Intuit Dome starting at 5. Now that football is done, I'm fully in hoops mode. So if you're like me and counting the days toward March Madness, the Horizon League Conference Tournament begins in 2.5 weeks, on Monday, March 2nd, and kicks off the entire tournament slate throughout the following 2 weeks. I can't wait. Baseball is also very slowly getting started, with spring training games beginning in just a couple of weeks. Teams are putting the finishing touches on their rosters. I love seeing Justin Verlander rejoin the Tigers for one last go this season. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday, and we'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.